Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook. This is the episode for Tuesday, February 13th, as the Pistons' daddy makes a visit to Detroit on Monday night and reminded the Pistons who the boss is. And that's not me, that was Anthony Davis, but I'm your boss for the podcast, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also find me on the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed that you should be following as well. And we got a Facebook page now that you should give a like to at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. And today we're going to be talking about Anthony Davis and those New Orleans Pelicans. But then a little bit later, I'll have an interview I did on Monday with Nick Friedell of ESPN and ESPN.com. You know Nick from television and also from his coverage of the league online for many years. I've come to know him from covering the Bulls games here in Chicago these last couple of years, and he's been up in Detroit quite a bit this year. He was up there for the press conferences and whatnot after the Blake Griffin trade, and he's been up a couple other times, maybe with the opening with the arena as well, covered the Pistons in the playoffs against Cleveland a couple of years ago too. But we're going to be talking to him, and he had some interesting things to say, and some sunshine as well for Pistons fans. He's a little bit of a believer in Stan Van Gundy and Blake Griffin and the Pistons' outlook for these next few years. And with the three-game losing streak and stumbling into the All-Star break like the Pistons currently are right now, maybe that's what we need. As the Pistons dropped, like I said, their third straight game, and this one was at home to the New Orleans Pelicans on Monday, 118-103. AD, Anthony Davis, not Adrian Dantley, but he scored 38 points and had 10 rebounds for the visitors, breaking Kevin Durant's couple months old Little Caesars Arena record of 36 points. So AD had 38 to break that. Davis is now the record holder for both for points at both arenas. He had 59 at the Palace a couple years back as well, and he probably would have dropped like 70 points or something at Cobo Arena if they would have let him go up against Terry Tyler and those guys in the late 70s. And then maybe at the Pontiac Silverdome, he probably had about 64 points or something like that. But alas, AD didn't play at those places, so he'll have to settle for the Palace and Little Caesars Arena. The Pelicans have now won 11 of 12 games against Detroit, so clearly a team that has dominated the Pistons over these past few years, especially during the Anthony Davis era. He was 14 of 24 with 10 rebounds, 21 for Jrue Holiday. For the Pistons, Blake Griffin led the way with 22 points, 13 points and 21 rebounds for Andre Drummond, who was 4 of 12 in the game, struggling around the basket like he was, you know, throughout a lot of his career, especially as a very young player. Jameer Nelson had 12 points off the bench. My computer and phone, by the way, everything auto-corrects Jameer to Jammer, and I think that's a great juxtaposition there because Nelson is like the opposite of a jammer, so it's kind of funny when I see that. But the biggest thing, the biggest problem, obviously, with the Pistons is the defense. It just sucks right now. It's completely obvious. Stan Van Gundy talks about it after every game, and it never gets fixed, despite the fact that the Pistons players as individuals aren't necessarily, other than the point guard position with Ish Smith, Jameer Nelson, and Langston Galloway at times, it's not like it's a collection of poor offensive players. So I don't know what that means. I mean, obviously, there's times when you have a roster that just can't play defense, and as a coach, you try to make it as good as possible. And defensively, as a coach, what is Stan Van Gundy not doing if he's got some athletes? And he doesn't have, you know, Bruce Bowen in his prime and Tony Allen and Kawhi Leonard out there or anything like that. But these are players that have reputations and have athleticism of being at least capable of possibly being good defensive players. I mean, Henry Ellenson doesn't play because he can't play D. Luke Kennard, one of the problems with him being out there for starter minutes or whatever is because he probably can't play the defense that you would expect for someone in that role to be playing. So if it's not the players and it's not that kind of thing, then what is it? So it's something to think about going forward. Blake was pretty good in the first half. I went back and watched the game. I saw the third quarter live kind of while I was watching the Bulls and Magic on Monday night from the cheap auxiliary press box. I was helping out with AP a little bit and doing some quote grabbing for the visitors and talking to, by the way, I have taped another interview on Monday that I'll share with you guys later on this week with a player who won a championship with the Detroit Pistons. I'll kind of tease that one and we'll get into that too. The hint there is that I covered the Bulls against the Orlando Magic. So And doesn't necessarily have to be a current player either. So maybe the sleuths of the internet can figure out who I talked to. And it's a short 5-minute interview that I'll share a little bit later on this week with you guys. But by the way, Emeka Okafor played for the Pelicans on Monday night. And holy crap, he started a game on Monday night for the first time since 2013. I had forgotten about him with good reason. He signed a 10-day contract earlier this month. 2013 was the last time that he actually played in the NBA as well. 4 full NBA seasons have gone by without Emeka Okafor. When I saw that he was playing, when I watched the beginning of the third quarter and he was on the court, I did a double take. I thought for sure he was done. In fact, I think I have a memory of wondering about him playing in the past few years and then looking it up and then feeling silly that I thought there was a chance he was still playing. And now at age 35, he's back with the Pelicans. He looked out of place. He had 8 points and 7 boards, but there's certainly, like I said, Jameer Nelson in his first game Sunday. You can kind of get those old mid to late 30s guys. They kind of stand out a little bit. They look old, and I think Okafor kind of fell into that category, as well as, like I said, Nelson the other day too. But I don't know. Maybe he'll help them kind of stem the tide. Obviously, New Orleans is trying to deal with DeMarcus Cousins being out for the rest of the season and then some with that Achilles injury. But certainly Anthony Davis, especially on Monday, doesn't need all sorts of great players around him. He's one of the league's top talents. And as Pistons fans, you probably, on one hand, you probably enjoy watching, you know, one of the 5 or 6 best players in the league really go after it, but you're probably tired of it in some sense too. But that Okafor thing kind of mixed in with some other Pistons research that I had been doing lately. I'm probably like many of you, where you catch a YouTube video of some Bad Boy Zero type thing, and then you fall into a basketball reference wormhole after a while. But I was going through doing one of those kind of things and ended up on John Long's basketball reference page, who does some radio for the Pistons as well. He's a Detroiter. He played for Dick Vitale in college at UAD and then went on to the pros with the Pistons as well, also for Dick Vitale. And he played his first 8 seasons with the Pistons back in the Cobo Arena days. And then he came back and played 2 separate stints with the Bad Boys era with the Pistons. Now, that's not what I'm talking about that reminded me of Okafor, though, because his Pistons last season was in 1990-91, so the year after the second Bad Boys title, and he was with them there. He won a ring with the first Bad Boys title, then was away from the team for 1 season, came back the season after that. And some of you older listeners might remember that. Of course, I remember the Bad Boys at 35 years old myself, but I don't remember, you know, all the guys at the end of the bench. I know they had David Greenwood and Scott Hastings for one of them, but like the Fennis Dembo types, and when was John Long on the team, when was John Long off the team? It's a little outside of my realm of everyday memory, but John Long played his last season, 90-91, or what would maybe be his last season, I guess, and then fell off the face of the earth at age 34, which is, you know, as a little guy shooter, not that unusual, not like an athletic freak or anything like that. Then in 1996-97, so 5 full seasons after that, John Long came back at 40 years old and randomly played 32 games with the Toronto Raptors. And I just thought that was unbelievable. I don't remember this from 96-97, by the way. Maybe some of you listeners do and can tell me that I'm an idiot or not much of a basketball fan because I don't remember that. But John Long came back and played as a 40-year-old in 96-97, 32 more games with the Toronto Raptors. And I'm pulling it up right now, but I mean, I don't know what his stats were, but here, here we go. I'm pulling it up right now. Sorry, excuse my time here. But he did 4 points a game, you know, knocked down some shots, played 11 minutes, and like I said, 32 games. So it wasn't like he got 4 games and they realized, what do we got 40-year-old John Long sitting on our bench for? But I think Isaiah Thomas was still running the team. This was one of the first couple years of the Raptors as an organization. So I wonder if there was like something where, because John Long was one of the guards when Isaiah came in and was the backcourt mate as a starter with John Long until a guy named Joe Dumars came in and took his starting spot. So I wonder if there was like a Isaiah, maybe he was like paying back John Long for a bet, or maybe he just, I don't know. There's got to be some kind of story there. If someone knows the story, or if someone, by the way, knows how to get a hold of John Long so we can have him on Lockdown Pistons, That would be great. I have a lot of questions about John Long playing it as a 40-year-old in Detroit, in Toronto. But I've gone on probably too long about John Long, no pun intended. But a little bit later on the show, we're going to have our conversation with Nick Friedel of ESPN and ESPN.com, who's been covering the Bulls for a few years, but is more of a national guy. You've probably seen him on The Jump with Rachel Nichols. He does TV quite a bit. He'll go out to LA and do some of those shows. Some of those guys just kind of go over there and do a few shows and rotate into the ESPN program a little bit. Then he comes back to Chicago. He's also up covering the Minnesota because he's got the history with Thibodeau and Butler and those guys. And then he goes up to Milwaukee some as well, and I believe Indiana too. So he's more of like the Midwest ESPN guy right now, and the Pistons are one of those teams that he follows. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus the Detroit products, I'm looking at you. I know that you know the provincial nature of Detroit fans, and I think they'd be helping out local companies if that was possible. Plus, our rates are reasonable, so email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Coming up here, we're going to talk to Nick Friedel of ESPN and ESPN.com. Thanks to Nick for sitting down with us and talking about the Detroit Pistons. But also, listeners out there, tell your friends about the Locked On Pistons podcast. And we got one for also every other NBA and NFL team as well. Listen to the Locked On Lions podcast. But tell your friends about this one, because we started off the season, it was my first time hosting a podcast, and maybe it wasn't great, but I feel like we're catching our stride lately. So give us a shot and tell your friends all about us. And without further ado, here is the interview with Nick Friedel. All right, here with Nick Friedel, ESPN, ESPN.com. You were up in Detroit for the press conference after the Blake Griffin trade last week. Seems like they were saying all the right things, and Blake, as far as coming to the new team, a smaller market, sounds like he's on board, so to speak, so far.
The message I got from Blake in talking to him was that he wanted to be wanted somewhere. And I can promise you, having been up there a little while, Stan desperately wanted somebody like Blake. He wanted a star. He understood that there are risks involved because of the injuries. But at least in the short term, the sample size is that he and Drummond seem to be like enjoying playing with each other a lot. I know that they've kind of fallen back here in recent days, but I am still a believer that he can give them plenty over the course of the next few years. And I think once Stan figures out exactly which direction he wants to go with the roster and they get Reggie Jackson back, I'm buying Pistons stock while the rest of the world's kind of shaking their heads going, really? I think it will ultimately end up working.
What about Blake Griffin in particular? I mean, he's not the high flyer that he was rookie season the first couple years, throwing in the three-point shot this year too. Do you feel like around the league that players and other people around the league are talking about him like he's still, you know, he's an MVP candidate 3 years ago, and now is he top 20, top 25? I mean, is he that superstar? What's his cachet around the league right now?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I would say he's still in the top 20 somewhere. I think Stan would argue that he's probably closer to 10 or 15. Either way, he's the type of guy that they haven't had in Detroit in a long, long time. And as great as Drummond has been, and of course he's going to the All-Star game, and he's a double-doubles machine, when you get a guy like Blake, I think it motivates everybody else around him. And when you have a guy like Drummond, who sometimes kind of appears to go through the motions, or maybe did in years past, I think he's going to be a really good influence on him. So on top of the fact that Blake's game has changed and he's more perimeter-oriented at times than he's been at any other point in his career, I think his ability to be on the floor and help everyone else kind of find a rhythm will be important for what Stan's trying to build and for what the Pistons are trying to do and go to the playoffs this year and then, of course, grow from there in the next couple seasons.
And you mentioned Reggie Jackson possibly coming back sometime next week or two weeks probably after the All-Star break. What do you think that does to this mix, adding him back to the team there?
It's funny because I was talking to Vinny Goodwill, who's here now covering the
Friend
Bulls.
Of the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, Vinny spent all those years in Detroit, and we were saying, well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Jackson comes back. That team has needed a point guard. He's been out for a while. I think he can be a stabilizing force I think Vinny's concern is what a lot of other people are wondering about this new group is, all right, where does the ball go now? Because Reggie likes to have the ball in his hands. Blake and Drummond like to have the ball in their hands to create. So it's gonna be really intriguing to see what Stan does to try to get everybody some touches and get everybody finding ways in which they can be successful. But, you know, when you add a guy who has a lot of talent, who's been there now a few years, I don't think it can hurt as bad as my man Vinny thinks it can.
And Nick, you've been around the Bulls for several years now, but your role has kind of expanded to some of the other teams around the Midwest too. You've been around Detroit a few times this year, especially with the opening of Little Caesars Arena. What do you think? What stands out to you about that? The team, the organization, the arena, maybe some things that being around it that you didn't know coming from the outside or even the city of Detroit, what are some things that kind of jumps out to you about your experience there?
I think the key for me in watching how things have come together for the organization, even in the last year, is the hope. Because I've covered the Pistons on and off going back to their days at the Palace for a while, and I had their playoff, I wouldn't say run, but when they got popped by LeBron and company a couple seasons ago, and you're thinking, all right, the pieces are in place for them to start to do something. And it really hasn't happened up to this point. And I have always been a big believer of Stan's coaching ability, because I watched him do some serious work in Orlando when he took Dwight and that team to the finals. But the key with the Pistons right now is they believe in their future. That arena, for anyone who hasn't gotten a chance yet to check it out, they did a really nice job with it. Tom Gores, the owner, very clearly will spend money. I mean, that's been obvious. He'll spend, you know, what they feel they need. It's just that up to this point, there haven't been many dividends that have come back. And this Blake Griffin deal is either going to make or break Stan's future in Detroit. I think everyone agrees on that. But when I've seen that team, when the fans are into it, and certainly they need more fans to show up there, but when fans are into it, it's a cool place to see a game, and it's a cool team to watch kind of grow in front of your eyes, because they have all those young pieces still, especially a guy like Stanley Johnson, who I know has not panned out the way they wanted, but I think it's still within him to do more. So the hope in Detroit, of all places, is something that has stood out to me in my trips up there.
And you're around the Bulls quite a bit and have been now for a while. Two different approaches towards a rebuild, with the Pistons kind of hoping that you slowly add pieces in the late lottery type of thing as time goes by. The Bulls are making more of a home run swing possibly this year with being a team that might end up with a primetime player coming in June one way or another. What do you think works out? I mean, the Bulls are maybe rolling the dice a little bit more. Pistons are trying to slowly build a little bit more. 2 years from now, 3 years from now, who do you think is going to be better off, or is it just kind of a gamble that the Bulls are kind of taking here?
I understand why Stan did what he did with the Blake deal, because he's in year three, I believe, year four, that's right, of his stretch. And it's time to win. Mm-hmm. And so he's got to find a way to do it. With the Bulls, though, if you were saying, all right, what would you take not only right now, today, but into the future? I'm taking the Bulls. Mm-hmm. They're core. Because you've got Markkanen, who I think is better than anyone thought. You've got Dunn, who this year has shown that he can play, although he's been out the last few weeks because of that concussion. And then with LaVine, the Zach LaVine contract is the biggest story to me that is on the docket for the Bulls, even more so than hitting the draft pick, which is crucial. Because Zach LaVine, if you end up having to pay Zach LaVine as a free restricted free agent, $146 million on a max deal, because either some team forced your hand or you feel like that's where it's going, you better hope and pray that he is as good as everybody thinks. And as great as I think he's been in small doses, there's also times where he's not having as much of an impact. And part of that's because he's coming off the ACL rehab. And part of that may be that he may not just be that top level tier guy. So the economics of the Bulls and what has to transpire this summer will be fascinating. But right there with everything else is that pick. If you hit on that pick, whomever it may be, and people ask all the time, you know, who do I think will end up there, and where will they land? I'm not sure, because I think so many teams are going to be tanking so hard in these last 2 months that it's going to be tough, not impossible, but tough for the Bulls to land in that top five window. But you hit on that pick, and you add them to the core, and then you keep the cap space that you do have, depending on what happens with Levine. The Bulls are in pretty good shape, and for as good as I still think the Pistons can be, I'm not sure that their ceiling is as high as where the Bulls can be over time.
Mm-hmm. You enjoying being out on TV, and you're going out to L.A., I believe, for all that stuff too? Hollywood out there?
Yeah. I love turning on my phone, and my buddies call or text me, and they're like, what the hell are they doing putting you on TV? So that always cracks me up, but it is cool. I mean, it's been, after all these years covering the Bulls, it's been fun just stretching out and seeing these different teams. And what you learn is, all, you know, it's the cliche of the business we're in, but everybody's got some kind of story. And after all the years being around the same guys, mostly, the Jimmys and the Derricks and Joakims, it's cool to see different groups and different teams and different coaches. I mean, I envy, I tell the Pistons beat writers all the time, I envy being around Stan every day, because he just can't help himself sometimes. You flip on that recorder, I mean, he just goes, it's like, Stan, how you doing? And then he goes off on some rant for 3 minutes. So it's fun being able to see the league in a different way, but I do wish I could mix in some more trips to get some 70 or 80 degrees in my future.
Well, hopefully maybe Golden State in the summertime might be a decent place to go in the Bay Area.
But that's right. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Nick Friedel, ESPN.com. Thanks for your time, man.
You got it, bud.
Nick Friedel, ESPN.com and ESPN Television as well. Thanks to him. I think you can probably tell from that interview, a really good guy. The Bulls have a good crew that covers them. Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune, one of the better NBA writers out there. Joe Colley of the Sun-Times, and also Vinnie Goodwill, as we know from Detroit news fame, but he's with the NBC Sports Chicago right now, writing about them as well. Cody Westerlund, another guy too. So a good crew to cover the Chicago Bulls, an interesting team looking ahead. And like Nick said, some pieces there that you can build on, and then the biggest piece probably being the draft pick that they will get sometime this June as well. So a team to keep an eye on. The Pistons have 3 games left with the Bulls. They've only played them once, lost that game. The Pistons will be hosting the Bulls in March, and then the last game of the season will be April 11th in the United Center against the Chicago Bulls, which could be a big one for both teams. Maybe the Bulls will be jockeying for one of those final spots in the standings and getting as many ping pong balls as they can for the lottery. And maybe the Pistons will be playing for their playoff lives or a seed or maybe trying to not end the Stan Van Gundy era or something like that. But we'll be talking about the looking ahead to the last game before the All-Star break, which is Wednesday, as the Atlanta Hawks will come and visit the Pistons to try to avenge the Sunday loss down in Georgia. But we'll be talking about that on tomorrow's show. And like I said, a member of the Detroit Pistons championship team that I talked to and have a little 5-minute interview with that you guys will want to check out. I think we'll get that in Wednesday's podcast as well. But go ahead and follow the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net and give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. And also spread the word about the podcast. Give us a rating and subscribe to us on iTunes as well. So thanks for your efforts, and thanks for listening most of all, everyone. And we'll talk to you all again soon.